Welcome to Widow Too Soon. This is Michelle Bader. I'm here with no one. Mark was unable to be here this time, and so I'm going to do a special episode for you. So I work with a lot of widows day to day with grief recovery, with my nonprofit Widow Goals, and obviously with podcast. And I want to give hope to those of you that are new in your journey that it's going to get better with taking the correct steps. So a lot of you could look at where Mark and I are now and say, wow, like you really have, you know, it's going good for you now. But I want to take it way back and play for you an episode I did just 5.5 weeks after Luke went to heaven. And the purpose of this is to show you that you're not alone, that I've been where you've been. Of course, not the exact same story, because we all have different stories, but I want you to see that it can get better and it will get better. And I just want you to see like where I came from where I am today. So this is recorded on my other podcast called The Peacecast that I did 2 podcasts ago. So I actually have 3 podcasts that I've done. The Peacecast, Widow Goals, and now Widow Too Soon. Widow Too Soon is the one that we do every week. These other 2 happened before that. And this was recorded, let me see when I look at it exactly when, July 2nd of 2020. Now, my husband passed away May 23rd of 2020. And so I want you to see and hear just what was going on in my life and how far God has taken me now. So hope you enjoy as we do a little throwback. Welcome to the Peacecast. This is your host, Michelle Bader. This is episode 28, Peace Through Burying My Husband. Well, it's been a few weeks since I podcast. I was on a regular schedule. If you're a regular listener, you know that. I was doing it once a week, and then my husband passed away, and it's been hard to do anything. So I did share in the last episode, peace through watching my husband pass away, that whole story. So if you want to know what happened, please go back to episode 27. I do not want to relive that again. I cried through the whole episode, and that was almost 4 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago or something. And I feel like I've made a lot of progress since then, as far as being able to talk about things and moving forward. And some of the things I talk about in that episode, I honestly don't want to talk about because I'm trying to move forward and have healing and all of that stuff. So if you want to, you know, review what happened, you can go back to that. But in a nutshell, my awesome husband, Luke, had cancer off and on for 16 and a half years, basically. He had it a long time ago, had his leg amputated, came back almost 3 years ago, and then May 23rd, 2020, he transitioned to heaven. So there was a lot in between there. and now I'm going to share kind of what has happened since then, how we're doing. I know a lot of people are wondering, and I'm just going to just share. And just a little warning, I may cry. I don't think it's going to be like last time where I cried the entire episode, because I feel like I've gained a little bit of strength since then. But you know what I've also learned? When you need to grieve, grieve. I mean, don't hold it back. If you're going through something, you know, I was actually explaining this to Haley. It's like that song when I was a kindergarten teacher. It's like, can't go around it, can't go under it, can't go over it, gotta go through it. And that's how grief is. You have to go through it or you will never get to where you want to be. I've seen a lot of people who have never gone through the grief, and you know, by just lots of reasons, but you have to go through it in order to heal. And so that's why I encourage my kids, cry when you want to cry, feel when you want to feel, and that it's not a bad thing. Crying is actually really healing. You know, Luke was able to cry at the end the last month, and it was something that his hospice nurse and myself would talk to him about. Like, this is healthy, don't hold it back, it's okay, crying is good. So that's just a little bit about that. So being this time period in life, it has been hard where there are limitations. We were only allowed to have 10 people at his graveside service, and that was extremely hard. Well, originally, Luke and I had never talked about a graveside service. All we ever talked about was a celebration of life. And sadly, we have not been allowed to do that yet. Our church opens with up to 200 people on July 19th. So I'm hoping that that means soon after that, my prayer is that in August, we could have a celebration of life with as many people as we want. So Luke never talked about it. So it wasn't like something like, oh, he would have wanted this. The only thing he ever talked about is that at his celebration of life, he wants people to wear Oregon Ducks stuff. And, you know, only it wasn't like a requirement. We just thought it would be fun, like anybody who wants to, because that was his favorite team. And we don't want people to have to go out and buy anything new, but whoever wants to can. That was the only thing that he said. Everything else he said, do whatever you want. I'll be in heaven. I don't care. So the graveside service, our pastor really recommended that we do it because we don't know when the celebration of life is going to be. So on June 12th, 2020, which was about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, two and a half, something like that from the time he passed away, we had a small service with just family. There were some cars that were able to watch from their cars, you know, family and a couple close friends of Luke's, and that's it. And the service itself, you know, I prayed that it wouldn't rain and it rained, but it was actually like Luke's favorite thing. He loved rain, so it was perfect. And it was beautiful. I mean, as beautiful as a service can be. I'll put links to some of the parts like of me speaking and the kids singing and all that stuff. It was different than a normal graveside service. Apparently, a graveside service is usually really fast because you have the celebration of life too. So this was, you know, time for people to share. Luke's dad and sister shared. Hayden shared. Haley sang a song, and I shared a letter. And we were actually able to physically be part of the burying also, which I wasn't sure we were going to do that. So we did kind of a mixture of cremation and burying. It was something that Luke and I didn't even know was possible, but we really wanted cremation because of the cost. He was all about saving money. So when I told him the difference in cost, he's like, oh, I don't care. I'll be in heaven. So we wanted it because of the cost, but then we wanted a place where the kids and myself could go visit, even though we know he's not there, having a like physical place. And so we were actually able to have him cremated and then bury the urn. And we actually got to be part of that. Myself and the kids all put a little bit of dirt on it, and it was hard. Well, let me back it up. Before that, we had a dozen roses so that each person, and then we ended up with extra somehow, but we had roses so that each person could put one in before they buried it. And for me, that was the moment where it was kind of like final, like saying goodbye, you know, like on earth, like the final goodbye for me. And I let everyone else go first. And then I asked my parents to help me because I didn't think I could do it. And I was able to just hold onto the rose for a minute. I had this beautiful spray. It's like a heart wreath that one of my friends had made for me with my wedding flowers. And I took a flower off of that from our wedding. And it took a lot of time and strength. And I was able to then take those flowers and put in there and say, you know, goodbye and all that stuff. But it was, I mean, between that and his actual passing, those are the hardest things I've ever had to do. It was really hard, and I chose to read a letter, and I'm going to read it now. I chose to read a letter to him, and that was huge in my closure. Instead of being sad and depressed and thinking about the end and all of that stuff, I started thinking about what is he doing right now? And you'll see that in the letter, that I really try to focus on that, that it's about he's not suffering anymore. But that doesn't stop the heartache. Like, I miss my husband so much. You can't just be with someone, married to them almost 17 years, and rip that apart and not feel this intense pain that's indescribable. Like, it just can't happen. And I know I'm going to heal He will always be a part of me. But I pray that the intensity of the pain will subside. It's been 5.5 weeks and it still hurts really bad. And I think sometimes it hurts even worse now. Like the shock part is over. I mean, somewhat. But it's the longest period of time I've ever gone ever since we were dating without seeing him. And so that's the part that hurts more every day because it's longer, you know, when someone you love is like on a trip or whatever, and the longer it is, the more you miss them. It's like that. So anyways, I really want to read this letter to you. I'll probably cry. You know what? I'm not going to say sorry for crying. It's just part of the process. I wrote this on June 11th. My dearest Luke, how do I even begin to say goodbye to you? How do I let go of the love of my life? How do I raise our babies without you? I can let go because I know you are healthy, happy, and whole. When I start to get sad, I remind myself of where you are. I remind myself that you are in the most perfect place ever. I can see your smiling, handsome face, adorable dimples, and deep brown eyes filled with joy. I see you running across a football field on the most perfect baseball field, hitting home run after home run as you run from base to base with ease on your two legs. Oh, man, you look good. Just like the day I met you when I was 14 and you were 15. I see you without a trace of cancer or pain, and I am so happy for you. As much as I am happy for you, I miss you beyond anything I have ever felt. I miss the way you would put your finger up to your chin when you were thinking. I miss the way you would joke with me, and I miss the way you would look at me. I miss the way you would say goodnight to everyone. Even though you were in immense pain, you always made sure to tell us all every night that you loved us and hug everyone. I miss the sound of your leg clicking as you put it on and the sound of you getting pills in the hallway. I miss watching movies with you as a family. I miss watching you interact with the kids, spending time with each of them, and showing love to them all uniquely. I miss your voice. I miss your smile. I miss your eyes. I even miss the smell of your deodorant. I miss having another adult to talk to in the house. I miss dates, and I miss how everyone would yell daddy in excitement when you would wake up, and we would all greet you, including Bentley. But I know what I don't miss. I don't miss seeing you in pain. I don't miss seeing the cancer taking over your body. I don't miss worrying about how painful it might be for you at the end of your life. My love, as shocking and suddenly as your transition to heaven was, I am so thankful that you never lost your independence. You never even had to have an assisted bath, and you walked until the end. I know how hard it was for you to think about losing your strength and having others take care of you. How amazing that you got to skip that. I know you didn't suffer, and just as I had told you 2 days before, God chose me to be your wife and walk this journey with you. I told you I would hold your hand until the very end. And Luke, I feel privileged to help usher you to heaven. I would have walked with you through all the things you didn't want to happen at the end. But again, I am so thankful you got to skip all that. Do you know that only 1 to 2% of cancer patients ever pass away from a blood clot like you? You always were different than everyone else, doing things in your own Luke way. So as painful as this is, to all of us who love you and are left here, I am glad God chose to take you home in the way he did. I don't understand why you ever got cancer, but when you look up the definition of a fighter, there is your picture. Man, you pushed through so much pain for 16 years. You pushed to be there for your family. There is no doubt in any of our minds how much you love and support us. From basketball, football, and baseball games to many theater performances, talent shows, and choir concerts. You showed up whenever physically possible. You always showed up for me too. I remember you bringing our very young kids by yourself to support me in my many races. Sure, they may have still been dressed in pajamas, but you got them there. You watched the kids countless nights so I could pursue my own business. Luke, I want you to know how proud of you I am. So proud. You fought for us every moment of your life. You showed up. You showed us what it means to persevere, and you did the best with your life, with the life that was given to you. You touched so many lives, and I hope you have already met some in heaven and will meet more. I remember when you were newly diagnosed, just 26 years old, reading your Bible during your chemo stays at the hospital. And you, Luke, were a light to all those nurses, doctors, and other patients. Your faith was strong, unmovable. You knew your convictions, and you stayed steadfast in your beliefs no matter what. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for shining for Jesus. Hottie, I'm going to miss you for the rest of my life. But I'm so excited for the day we reunite in heaven. You know I will jump into your arms, and you can show me all around heaven. I will never forget all that you have done for me. Recently, the ring. You so wanted me to have my original wedding ring with a new diamond, and you fought through all kinds of pain to get it with me and experience with you. That experience with you is among my most precious memories, and every time I look at the ring, I feel your love. I believe God gave us such a gift on your last night on earth, an awesome family time, group hug with everyone, even the dog, and then a date of a grilled cheese sandwich and laughing and watching shows. I said to you, this was our best date ever, and you agreed. I will treasure that night with you forever. Thank you for that night. I have loved you so many years that being without you is the most painful thing I have ever experienced. 17 years of marriage. Thank you for your faithfulness and love. I don't want to say goodbye, so I won't. I believe God will continue to send me signs of you, and I will treasure each one. I promise to raise the kids the very best I can and to keep your memory and legacy alive. We will always talk about you and look forward to the day we see you. I hope you have met all four of my grandparents and reunited with your grandparents and loved ones. I am so thankful for all the amazing family memories we have, especially over the last few years. Great Wolf Lodge several times, Silverwood, Disneyland, Oregon Duck football games, and just us on the field, Blazer games, and so much more. I had so much fun with you. Looking forward to laughing with you again in heaven. There is no one like you, Luke Bader, and I would do it all again with you. Because I really believe it is better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. Thank you for all the beach trips, adventures, three beautiful children. My life is forever better because of you. You, my love, have made a lasting impact. So again, this is not goodbye. This is until we meet again. Love you always and forever, Michelle. As you can see, it was a very emotional letter, but it really helped me to get out what I was feeling and am feeling and push forward, you know, to look forward to seeing him again instead of just being stuck in the sadness of missing him. And it does hit me every day in different ways. Yesterday, I was putting some things away and I found like some of his coats and sweatshirts and I was checking the pockets and they all had like eye drops or like a little piece of candy or like just different things that he would carry. And I just started crying, you know, just the little things I'm finding of his around the house. And, you know, for about 4 weeks, I didn't touch anything in the house. I left it just how it was. I was afraid to touch anything. And I woke up exactly 4 weeks from when it happened and said, I gotta change something. I was sleeping in my bed, on his side, in the exact place that he passed away. Because Haley was on the other side. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. Something has to change. So I got a bed frame. So we only had like a bed frame. I got a sleigh bed. Luke and I always wanted one, and then it never happened. And then of course the last couple of years it would have been too much for him because it's kind of high. So we just never got one. I went on Craigslist, boom, $50, cherry wood, all like new. I was the first person to contact them, and it was like half mile from my house. My parents helped me and Hayden helped me get it. And I was able to put it like, move the bed. Yeah, when I moved the bed, I cried. I sat in the middle of the room and cried because we'd never moved the bed. Like, he didn't really want to change anything. And, you know, I had those twinges of, oh my goodness, like guilt. But then I'm like, no, he'd want me to move on. And like, he'd want me to do whatever is going to help me to move forward with my life and not be stuck in the same place. So was able to clean out under the bed and move the bed to the side and put it in the bed frame. And it felt so much different and better because I couldn't be stuck in the same place anymore. And then about a week or two after that, I was ready to work on the rest of the room and box up his clothes, not get rid of anything, but box them up because I know as the kids, the boys, you know, get older, they're going to want more of his clothes. Most of them don't fit right now. Hayden can wear a few things. So I went to Target and got those big like plastic bins since I have a tall bed now and was able to put all of his clothes from two different dressers into bins and put it under my bed. And I feel good about it because they're still there, but they're not in my sight. Like I'm able to, my room looks so big now. And Hayden was able to take one of the dressers, which is special for him, and just kind of change things up in my room. And that's been helpful. And the boys and Haley, everybody's been doing it. We had a big desk and file cabinet in Haley's room / office. We were able to move those out, you know, and I've just been packing things in boxes and not getting rid of things unless they're mine, but of his things, not getting rid of anything, just putting it to the side for now. And that's been very healing, I think, you know, because I don't want to be where you're stuck in the moment that he left and you can't move forward because you're stuck in that moment and everything is exactly as it was. I think it's been good for all of us to change things up, and my room feels completely different. And I put up our beautiful wedding pictures. They match the cherry wood, put it right above my room. I'll try to put a link or a picture in here so you can see it. And it just really helped me to move forward and just move forward with my life. Never, ever, ever forgetting him, but I cannot stay stuck on May 23rd. You know, I have to move forward. And every time, you know, it's like July now, and every time I enter a new month, it's hard. It's like, okay, here's another month I'm entering without him. And it's just, there's so many things that trigger the tears. So many things. Like, I miss him so much that it's not even describable. And then the other part that's been really hard is the single parenting. Man, that's no joke. Like, props to all of you who've been doing single parenting for a while, because it's hard. Like, I'm finding it really hard. Even when Luke was sick, he was still a support. Like, even if he couldn't do as much physically as he wanted to, like with us, he was able to be that person that I bounce ideas off of. And, you know, he was still that support. So with the kids, that, you know, it just, not having him here, everyone's kind of trying to figure out the new normal, and that's been hard. Really, really, really hard. And just even things like, I went to IKEA because I was getting two dressers and Haley was with me, but she had the smaller cart. And I had like the big, huge, gigantic cart with four huge boxes. I'm sweating. I'm trying to push it. I got other stuff going on with the kids. And it's just like, I'm crying. And I'm like, God, I just used to have Luke to help me. Like, how am I going to do all these things? Like, I'm learning things that I never knew how to do before. But you know what Luke said to me right before he passed away? You're smart. You're going to figure it all out. And I am, one day at a time, one bill at a time, one putting things together, fixing things. You know, thankfully, I also have my family who helps a lot too. My parents, my brothers, my nephew came over one day. I mean, we've got people helping, which is awesome. But just having him right here is, you know, not here is hard. It went through a time period of a little bit of panic attacks. I've never
had anxiety. I've never had panic attacks, and I'd only seen them as something where you can't breathe, but apparently you can have fainting panic attacks, and I've had two of those now, and so you could pray for that. It's just where I actually have a fear of dying now, because I'm the only parent left, and so it really freaks me out, but I know I need to just trust in the Lord. And the first time I had one, Haley was like super helpful, because I was like, Haley, I think I'm fainting. And she just really helped me through. And she started quoting, this is my little angel who lives in my room with me. She started quoting the verse about God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And, you know, was just praying over me and telling me that. And it was awesome just to have her. So I've had like a couple of those and learned that's an actual real thing. Your mind is a crazy thing, you know? Oh, it's so crazy. So I'm trying to work through that. And, you know, I used to be a runner, and before Luke passed away, I was running 4 miles, 4 or 5 days a week. Like, I was really into it. I had lost weight. I was feeling good physically. And, I haven't been able to run since then. It's, I don't know, kind of like a mental block. So I asked Melissa, my running partner, the other day, the one that I've ran a marathon with and trained with, like, could she help me? So I think we're going to plan a time just to have somebody. I don't know how to explain it. Like, why should running be so hard? But it's like, everything is hard for me when it's the first time since. I mean, even like the first time since he passed away, turning on the TV in my room was hard. Like, everything when it's the first time since. Seems to be a stumbling block for me, like, as far as like, okay, that's going to be a little difficult to do. What else did I want to talk about? Something I have found helpful, and I'm going to put a link. There are like Psalms on YouTube that like they say the Psalms, and they have like peaceful music, and that's been, I've done that a couple nights, and Haley's listened to it too. And that's been really, really nice to just listen to God's word and just relax and just try not to think about the sad things. And honestly, I'm not this sad every day. This is the most I've cried in a long time. But I think it's because I'm, you know, reliving some of this and talking about stuff, and that's been helpful. You know, the rest of my life is a huge question mark. That's been difficult. Should I do this career? Should I do this career? Thinking of new careers. And, you know, honestly, my dream job is what I'm doing right now. Podcasting, writing, speaking. Boom. That's it. But those are hard to make money at. But I'm just going to do them for fun right now, and then try to figure out what I'm going to do for money. And then maybe someday they will equal money. But it's a little difficult to do. I still have a book called Paralyzed Joy that was set to release June 1st, but it didn't because I wasn't in a place to do that. I was working on it the night Luke passed away, and it's just been hard for me to open it back up. So that will come soon. It will come soon. And there's lots of scenes about heaven. It'll be interesting to reread them now, knowing he's in heaven right now. And I've actually become a lot more interested in heaven. My cousin Jesse told me, if you ever have a chance to do a study on Revelation, you should. And then I got an email from Proverbs 31 Women, and it said they're doing a study on Revelation. So I just ordered the book, and I'm really excited to just, you know, dive in and learn more about heaven and learn more about where the love of my life is. And, you know, just as much as I can about what he's doing. And yeah, days are rough. Nights are harder. Nights are the hardest. I mean, they're getting easier, but that's the time we miss him the most, because he would, you know, have to be in bed most of the day with his sickness. And then the evenings we would watch movies. But we've done some great things, like getting together with friends and having people over. We went on a trip last week to Eastern Washington, which was awesome, with cousins and aunts and uncles. And it was actually way easier when we were away. Like, it was easy because that's what we do in the summer. We travel, check in with Luke, and it was just like he was at home waiting for us. But coming home was rough, and I knew it would be. And next week, we're going to Boise to see Deborah, my best friend, the one who dropped everything and came out here on the day he passed away. We're going to go out and see her family, so I'm really excited about that. Another verse that I have up on my wall that's been really comforting, and I know we've all heard it a billion times, but like, when you're actually living it and you're like in the midst of, I don't know what my plans are, it really means a lot. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Even though this feels harmful, I know God didn't do it. He allowed it, but he did not do it. And I know that he has great plans for the rest of my family. And he has great plans for Luke. Luke's in heaven now. And so I just focus on that and then also be still and know that I'm God. I had a friend who gave me some good advice the other day that, you know, I'm like, well, what about this career? What about this career? Like, maybe you just for a few months, you just need to be still. God will reveal it to you. And I feel like that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't have to go searching high and low and figure this out. You know, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Father's Day was hard. I learned some lessons. Don't go on social media on holidays, especially your first holiday, and your first holiday without him happens to be Father's Day. It was the first day I was angry. I haven't been angry since then or before then. And it wasn't angry at a specific person. It was just people in general. I was like, it's not fair. See, I sound like a baby when I say it. Like, not fair. They are with their family. They're the dad with the kids and my kids don't have a dad. You know, it was hard seeing that. And then I just felt like, you know, this reminds me again to put my hope in Jesus, not in people. Because when you put your hope in people, you'll always be disappointed. And I just felt like even some of the people I'm closest to forgot to say anything and realize this would be a really hard day for me. But I know that they were all busy with their own families. And I know I've probably disappointed people before and I need to give grace and not need people to make me feel like, you know, people care. Like, I just need God. And then if people happen to care, then great. You know, so that was extremely hard day. Haley and I wrote Father's Day cards. We went to the cemetery. We left him and the boys did not want to get out of the car because we deal with things differently. They don't want to go to the cemetery. Haley and I do. So now I know I'll just leave them at home next time that Haley and I want to go because it's not helpful for them. So, you know, we all grieve in different ways. I think that's mostly, you know, what I wanted to say is that this grief thing is hard. I've read, I think, 3 or 4, maybe 5 books about grief. And, you know, just doing everything I can, listening to podcasts and trying to just figure out how to get through this and mostly how to help my kids because I'm grieving my own loss of my husband of 17 years, almost 17. I'm just rounding up. It was 2 months short of 17. 3. And then how to help my kids with the loss of their father. And so it's a balance of my own emotions with that. Plus, how are they doing with this? And they're dealing with it much differently because they're kids. And so it's a whole array of things. And we also have our first birthday without Luke coming up July 7th. Hayden will turn 16. And that was something that Luke really, really wanted to be part of. But he is going to be a part of it because he had picked out a special gift for Hayden. And I'm going to give it to him on his 16th birthday. We're actually going to be in Idaho, so it'll be really fun. We're going to be doing tons of fun things. Today, we're doing Hayden's birthday here with friends and family. And then on the 7th, we will celebrate it there. We'll have a cake and maybe go to the water park and just have a different kind of birthday. And then I'll be able to give him his special gift from his dad. So that's exciting. But it is going to be different on the first birthday. Because he was here for Haley's, which was really special. And I know he wanted to be here for Hayden's too. But we can't change that. So we move forward and we make the best of it. And, you know, it's just about learning to be carried minute by minute by God. Like, I can't think too far in the future, you know. Like, I cannot do it. I don't know anything about the future. But I know that God cares. Like, in the moments when I'm really down, I know that God cares. Like, even through my pain, I know he's there. I know he has a plan. I hold on. It's like in the middle of a storm. Like, I hold on to the facts that I know. Okay, this hurts like the worst thing I've ever felt in my life. But I know I'm not alone. I know that he has a plan. I know he'll take care of me and my kids. And I know it will get better. Like, I hold on to those things And the fact that Luke is healthy, that helps me in the storm. And that someday I'll see him again. Those are the things that really help me when I feel like I'm drowning and I cannot do this. And there are days I go in my room, I shut the door, and I cry because I feel like, God, I cannot do this anymore. But he always sends a person or a thing, like something. So I know you guys have heard me, if you listened to this for a long time, talk about my manna. I even created a journal called My Manna for Today. And God gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness when they were wandering, and it was just enough food for the day. If they took too much, it would spoil. If they didn't take enough, they wouldn't have enough to eat. And so I actually hadn't done it in over a year, like write down my manna for today. But I started a couple days ago, and Haley and I talk about it every night. What's our manna for today? And so that means, like, what is the thing that God gave me today to help me through? What is something, basically, what is something I'm thankful for today? And he always gives me manna every day. I challenge you to start, like, praying for manna and then just writing it down every day. And then looking back at it is really awesome to see the manna that he gave you in order to get through what you needed for that day. Like, I couldn't handle all the manna I need for my future in one day. So he's going to give me the manna I need for today, July 2nd, 2020. What I need today, I have no doubt he will give to me today. July 3rd, I have no doubt he will give to me what I need on July 3rd. And that's how I'm living. Day to day, manna to manna, and he always provides. I have no doubt. So I think I'm going to wrap it up because I've just talked a long time, but I really, really wanted to have a chance to share about his service and to let you guys know that I know a lot of you are wanting to participate in a celebration of life, that we're still working on it. It's going to happen. I'm praying in August. Could be September. I don't know. You know, I've just been like, okay, God, I'm giving it to you because I have zero control over this. Zero. So I'll update you when I know, you know, if you're a local person that wants to participate in that. It'll be, I think, a fun time because it's a celebration of life. We've already done the closure part. It's more about celebrating and, you know, sharing pictures and stories and that kind of thing, and wearing ducks gear. That'll be fun, especially to see my cougar family in ducks gear. That'll be awesome. I think that Luke just did that as like a joke. Like, I think he'll be able to see that too, how funny that is. Anyways, I feel better. Getting tears out is always good. We've got some fun plans today. Hayden's, you know, having his party. I got to do some cleaning before then. Speaking of cleaning, I've had several friends come over several times and help me clean, and that's been an amazing gift. And I'm so thankful for all of you. If you're listening, you know who you are. And, you know, if you know someone who has lost someone, the best thing you can do for them is just don't say, what can I do for you? Say, hey, can I do this for you? Can I come in and clean? Can I get you groceries? Can I bring you a meal? Can I do this? That is the most helpful, because I'm almost 6 weeks out and I still can't make very good decisions. I'm like, I don't know. So if you can say, I'm coming over to clean, or I'm doing this, that is going to be so helpful to the person who's grieving, who doesn't know what they want exactly. So anyways, this is long enough and I've got a lot of things to do today. I appreciate if you are listening and that you're still here with me after all of this and my inconsistency of sharing. I will possibly, I'm not making any commitments, possibly get back to being more consistent. Right now, like I said, it's just minute to minute, day to day, and I do what I can. And today I felt like I could do this. So hope you guys have a fabulous day, and I'll talk to you later. Well, thanks for listening to this throwback episode. I hope it helped you to see that I haven't always been where I'm at today, and that God has carried me, and he can and will do the same thing for you. If you liked this episode, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to do it this time. I'm just going to say it would really help us out if you rate and review it, and make sure you're subscribed. You know, click the little bell. Well, I guess that's YouTube, then the bell. But make sure on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, that you are subscribed. So every time there's a new episode, which is every Tuesday, that you will get that directly to your phone right away so you don't miss one. It actually helps us get the word out if you are able to even take a couple minutes to, a lot of you have told us what this podcast means to you, like in an email.
If you wouldn't mind putting that into review, I'm going to put a link below on just click here. You can go automatically to review it. That would mean a lot to us. It's been so awesome talking to different people who have told us how much this has helped them. It really helps us to keep going and just to show us like what God's doing with this podcast. We are already, this is 97. So just to remind you, on episode 100, we're going to be doing a live episode. Details to come. You're not going to want to miss that. You're going to want to be there live as we talk about something cool that will be announced soon. So anyways, thank you for listening. If you've been blessed by this episode and want to give back, you can go down below and give to our nonprofit Widow Goals. Widow Goals provides not only the social media and podcast that you're seeing today, but we also do local events. We give gift baskets. We give scholarships for grief recovery and so on and so on. So if you want to give back, you can give below for a tax deductible gift. So anyways, thanks for all of your listening. And if you want to be on the podcast, make sure you fill out the form below to apply to be a guest. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.